The message of Good Friday can be summed up as the message of two cups, and these are quite similar, but two very different cups, as is in the story of Easter and the story of Good Friday. And the first one is amazing. This is a great cup that everyone loves. Rose is going to come and read about that one. We're going to have a reading for each cup from the story. Where are you, Rose? There you are. Come and read from us from Matthew 26.
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out of many for the forgiveness of the sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives.
Thanks, Rose. So this first cup, we'll call this first cup, we'll call it the cup of salvation. This is a great cup, and that Rose has just read about, that Jesus gave to us to drink on, would have been the Thursday evening of Easter week, so kind of last night where we are on Friday. And this is a really great cup to drink and to lift up. We have some concept, don't we, of the goodness and the celebration of lifting up a cup. This weekend is the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. This weekend, this summer, is the World Cup. We have this kind of concept of, like, and there'll be a moment at the end of these tournaments where they'll make a big song and dance of it, and they will lift up the cup in celebration and go crazy and celebrate it. Celebrate lifting up the cup. And I got the name Cup of Salvation from Psalm 116, verse 13, which says, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." I think many of us are familiar with that scene that Rose has just read, the Last Supper, where Jesus gives this sacrament of communion. And if you picture that scene, right, what you know of it, what you just heard read, Jesus is eating a Passover meal with his friends and his followers. This is a pre-established thing they would have done every year, celebrating this Passover when the angel of death passed over those who had the blood over their doorframe. And they're just having this meal, celebrating this, and then he takes some bread and he thanks his Father for it, and he broke it and he gave it to everyone, said, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then with the cup, he does three things. Two are the same as what he does with the bread. He takes this cup and he thanks his Father for it. Because everyone who understands this cup loves it. Everyone is grateful for this cup. This is easy to thank God for. To thank God for this cup. And then secondly, again, he gave it to them. He gives it. And he says, "Everyone drink. Everyone drink from this cup." He invites all of them present. And it's easy for us to think in that context that Jesus is with all of the big dogs, the really good ones, the cream of the crop, the really good Christians who are really always doing what they're supposed to be doing. But actually, Jesus knows full well what is about to happen, which is that every single one of them to a man is about to totally abandon him. They're all about to kind of flee in fear. He knows this. He knows that they don't deserve this cup of salvation. and this cup of victory, but he gives it to them anyway. It's offered to sinners like Peter, who is just about to totally disown him, even to Judas, even to you and me. He gives this cup. He invites everyone to drink of it. And then the third thing he does, he explains a bit more. He says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." This cup is the forgiveness of sins. All of the things that separate us from God are washed away by the drinking of this cup. Any barrier that we have between us and God, when we drink of this cup of salvation, are washed away. It's the cup of the forgiveness of sins. It's an amazing cup. It's wonderful. Just like the FA Cup, right? Everyone wants it. We all want this cup. Everyone should want it. It is amazing. In a few minutes, we are going to drink, not all from this cup, we're going to drink effectively from this cup of salvation and celebrate the joy of sins forgiven. And Jesus then explains he will not drink of this cup again for a very long time. It'll be a long time before he drinks again of this cup. But very soon he will drink another cup. He will have another cup poured out over him, he explains. And then they sing a song together, and Jesus tells his closest friends, who is his closest friend Peter, he tells him, "You're going to disown me soon." Peter's like, "No, not at all." And then he goes and does it. And that's Jesus goes and tells him that that's what's going to happen. And then they go to a garden where he talks and he prays about another cup, this other cup. And Ola is going to come and read to us about this cup.
"Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you, men, keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.' When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners.'"
Excellent. We could call this other cup the cup of wrath, or maybe judgment, or justice. God's good, righteous anger at sin. Because God is a just God, Jesus can't actually just give out this cup of salvation and forgiveness of sins without someone paying the price that our sins deserve. Where there is crime, for there to be justice, fairness, there must be punishment. But Jesus is desperate for there to be another way. That's what we see in the garden. He's kind of already committed. This cup of salvation is available to anyone who wants to drink it. He is desperate for there to be any way for that to be true without him having to drink of this cup. Again, you notice he thanked his father for this cup. Totally the opposite with this one. Please take it away from me. Not my will, but yours. This is the Father's just and fair and good wrath at all sin of the whole world from all time, all poured into this cup, which is going to be poured on to Jesus. Jesus never sinned, but he took Peter's and Judas's and mine and your sin on himself so that he could take the punishment for sin on himself and have this cup of wrath poured out on himself. He doesn't invite everyone to drink of this cup. He says, I'll do it. I'm not asking you. He just says, I will drink of this cup. So Jesus gave, you see, he gave this cup of salvation, but he could only do that because he was going to drink this cup of wrath. That's the only way it was possible. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We might have sins forgiven. And the garden, it's just the contrast between Jesus and his disciples paints a really good picture for us of the difference between what Jesus has done and where we now sit because of that. I mean, again, you think, so the Passover meal, roast lamb and bitter herbs. It's a tasty meal. They're well fed. That's what they've just eaten. And they've drunk of the sweetest of wines that you could ever imagine. They've drunk from this cup of salvation. And I mean, and then they're in a garden and they can't help but just doze off, right? They just had this lovely dinner, bit of wine, that makes me very dozy. They're just drifting off to sleep, utterly content in the knowledge of their sins forgiven. Jesus has already promised that. Meanwhile, Jesus is being pierced for our transgressions. He is thinking about what is to come. He is thinking. He says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He thinks he might just die in the garden because the thinking it all through is so overwhelming for him. It could not be further from restful sleep. The Lord is about to lay on him the sins of all of us, and the punishment that brings the disciples restful peace and sleep was about to be on him. The punishment that brings rest was about to be on him. So you see, right, the message of Good Friday can be told as the message of two cups. It feels a little bit like that. I know they're similar. It's not like some game, don't drink the wrong cup, the poison cup or something like that, and you switch, you've got to fit. That's not the point. It is that because all have sinned, and we've all rejected God, we all deserve this cup. That is the cup we deserve. Jesus deserves this cup of salvation, of victory. Never sinned, never done anything wrong, tempted in every respect, just as we are, yet without sin. He deserved this. But when we come to the table of communion, like we say at dinner time, come to the table, we're talking about come in this context, come to the communion table. When we come to the table, Jesus graciously gives this cup to us, which is only possible because at the cross, he takes this cup on himself that we deserve. We're going to hear a reading of the crucifixion. Mandy's going to come and read, and then we're going to sing another couple of songs as we anticipate coming to drink of this cup. We're going to have time to dwell on it as we come, and then I'll lead us through this. As we come to drink of this cup of salvation, Mandy's going to come before and read, and then we'll sing a couple more songs. Why don't we stand, actually, as Mandy comes to read this one, and the band can come and get ready.
From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."